If you think thinkorswim isn't for you, think again. It's a dynamic suite of trading platforms designed for every kind of trader. Whether you're just getting started on your trading journey, been at it a while, or somewhere in the middle, thinkorswim is for you. Available on web, desktop, and mobile. Visit thinkorswim.com to learn more. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back. And, you know, you guys can say what you want about Joe Biden, but, you know, Joe is a time traveler. In fact, here, yesterday, Joe Biden traveled to Santa Clara County, California, and he delivered, it was a week ago yesterday, remarks on the non-existent climate change and the so-called good-paying clean energy jobs. Now, here's what he said. She said this, that he's committed by the year 2020, that by the year 2020, this is what he said a week ago Monday, by the year 2020, we will have conserved 30% of all the lands and all the water. Okay, so this is his goal is by 3 years ago that he's going to place, 30% of all waters and under the government. So here, a couple of businesses are suing banks because they want to consider whether or not you're environmentally, anyway. I won't go into all of that. Biden is saying, Biden said from a nature preserve in Palo Alto. Now, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, folks, but this is Joe Biden talking. So Joe Biden is planning on traveling back in time to put 30% of all of our country's land under the government. Now, here's another one. Let me ask you, too. Do you think he can do it?
In his mind, he can do anything.
All righty. Here's one. Every living former U.S. president except Donald Trump. Okay, Biden, Obama, Bush, Clinton, and Carter. Listen, all four of them have direct descendants of slaveholders. They all have, there's only one that is not a direct descendant of a slaveholder, and that's President Trump. Now, this is Reuters' investigation into the genealogies of America's leading political figures reveals a legacy of slavery in the nation's corridors of power. A staggering fifth of the country's lawmakers, living presidents, Supreme Court justices, and governors can directly trace their lineage back to ancestries to enslaved black people. Boy, that's something. Now listen, do you think it's possible that we might see Obama have to pay reparations to Trump?
that's quite an idea.
Yeah, I'm for it.
You know, I heard a black preacher the other day, I think it was, who pointed out that the slave trade, the so-called modern slave trade, lasted about 400 years. And even that black preacher pointed out that the Jews were in bondage in black Egypt, black Africa, Hamite Africa, for 400 years. And you talk about sowing and reaping. I mean, what are you going to do with that statistic? So that's just something to think about right there, isn't it?
So you don't think that Newsom in California should be able to pay all of the black residents there $1 million?
Nice. Yeah, what was it? Was it 800,000? Is it up to $1 million now?
Yeah, I think so.
He can't even survive the current budget deficit he has, and he's going to blow it up 20-fold with this silliness. I mean, this is a national death wish this country's functioning under. And you know, we're descended from Europe. I mean, from England. And you talk about genealogies. I read something the other day. You know it, Pastor, that King Charles and Queen Elizabeth, his old family, descended directly from Vlad the Impaler, your model for Dracula. But, you know, you look at this country, the King James Bible has been under attack because it came under attack in England from Westcott and Hort, those British scholars. They started the ball rolling to attack, you know, the authorized 1611. And, preacher, you know, dawned on me the other day, look how you reap what you sow. You have a Hindu and for a prime minister of Great Britain, and you have a Muslim for the mayor of the largest city, the capital of London. And a descendant of Dracula for your king, which is coming right in line with that that progress, so-called. So,
King Charles was professed to be a Muslim, and he's supposed to be head of the Church of England.
Church of England, sure. They had all those Bible verses quoted at his coronation.
Yeah, I know. It's an amazing time that we're living in today, isn't it?
Pastor, it sure is. When I was born, Harry Truman was having Thanksgiving dinner in the White House. I'm just a young man compared to you. I'm 70.
Truman.
Truman. 13 yeah. presidents and one resident.
Right,
None of us have seen anything close to what we're looking at now.
You're right. I thought...
The rapture, you can't get excited.
When I saw Jimmy Carter, I thought it could never get worse than that. then Obama came along, and I thought certainly it couldn't get worse than that. And now here's Biden. I can't believe it. It's just unbelievable. But here's what Trump has to say about that. You ready? He says, "This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state." President Trump throws down the gauntlet in historic New Hampshire speech there. He really went hot and heavy there in New Hampshire at the Republican woman's luncheon. It was another historic speech. Well, I'm going to tell you, he didn't cut him any slack. He said it the way it was. And we talked about this yesterday because, people will hear things and then they'll parrot those things. And now the rhinos out there, they're saying, well, you know, Trump just got too much baggage. They're starting this thing saying, well, he's got too much baggage. Let me just tell you something. For what they did to Trump, they did to us. When they stole his election, they stole our vote. And we cannot let them get away with this. We cannot let them get away with this at all. Because, again, when they stole that, they stole it from us. And so we have to, and like Trump, when Trump said, it's not me. He's they're coming after you. I'm just in their way. He was exactly right on that. And so we know what he will do. When he gets back. Trump's by far not perfect. He's not a perfect. There hasn't been a perfect man to walk the face of the earth since the Lord Jesus. But compared to what we've had, I think he's pretty close to it. What do you guys think?
Isn't he the first chief executive billionaire successful entrepreneur that ever sat in the White House? I mean, there's never been a president in my lifetime that came close to the productivity that he was able to care for, but the honesty. When he made campaign promises, he kept them. When have we ever seen that before?
I actually heard some senators were saying that if he keeps this up, the people are going to expect all of us to keep our promises. And they were supposed to be saying that like a joke. If Trump keeps this up, they'll expect all of us to do this. But it wasn't a joke. And
right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, speaking tongue-in-cheek, absolutely. You know, Pastor, you promoted my book last time, Perilous Times, and it's doing well. People are, you know, getting quite a bit of edification from it. And I try to draw as many Bible parallels as I can. And, you know the story in the Bible that is two Old Testament stories, Rahab the harlot and the story of King Josiah. Rahab the harlot is the perfect pattern for American people that are that know the Lord, that are in this mess right now. Rahab and was right with God through the, you know, arrangement she made with the spies, just like we're right with God in the church age then. We know the Lord is our Savior. But we have one thing in common. We're both trapped in a terrified city. Rahab was right with God, but she had to wait out the timetable. So those walls came down and that city was destroyed. It was a cursed city. And if you're right about all this 100 million babies slaughtered, this country is going to be judged, ultimately.
Oh, there's and well over. Listen, I've been in a pro-life movement for 50 years. Every one of those that ran the abortion mills, the ones that came out and admitted to me, every single one that's common practice within the baby-killing industry, they only turn in, they only claim one out of every two babies they kill. Everybody knows that. That's common practice. So when they say that was 65 million, double that. Wow. Go ahead and double that.
Well, I never heard that. That's amazing.
So, yeah, and so... Anyhow,
you know, Josiah is the other story because he's the parallel for Trump. When you study his career, the Bible specifically said there was no king like him before or after. That would include David.
Yeah.
But the point is, and he was about ready to reunite the divided country even. He was doing so well. But as you read it clearly, God tells him through Jeremiah and the other prophets, I'm sorry, you're doing a good job, but it's too little too late because your grandfather Manasseh crossed the line and I cut the country off. And I am not going to turn it around. No matter what you do, you're doing too well, as a matter of fact, and nothing personal, but I'm going to have to take you home. And, he, you know, he's killed by that stray arrow, and he was the best king they had, but they had crossed the line. And I see a parallel between that and Trump. He was the best president in our lifetime, productivity-wise. But look, this country's is in a mess, and they have to answer to God for it. So it's a strange time to be alive, for sure.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
That's like when Jeremiah and Ezekiel that told Israel, you got to repent, or Nebuchadnezzar's going to wipe you out. And they got mad at Jeremiah for telling them they got to repent, or else God's judgment is going to come. They blamed Jeremiah, in fact, for any judgment that came, and just because he told them about it. You know, it's like these charismatics that say if you say anything negative and the negative happens, it's all your fault. And, you know, that's the way they were back then. They didn't want to hear anything about God's judgment. America is like that right now. They want to sin like the devil and get away with it. They want to allow this LGBTQ stuff to go on and all this other stuff, yet they want to be saved out of all their mess. And the thing is, you can't live like the devil and expect God's blessings. And even with a president like Trump, I too agree, he's the best president we ever had in our life. He's like a modern-day Josiah. But I think we may have crossed the line. And in America, I don't see any repentance in America as a general rule, where they're turning back to God and begging God to forgive their sins and heal this land. I just don't see it. I see a nation that's sin crazy, that wants to get drinked up, drugged up, sexed up, and condone all kinds of sin, and let this Biden crime family run rampant and everything else. And yet they think that they're looking for somebody to come and save them out of all of it, and it's just not going to happen without any repentance.
Well, I wouldn't say there's none repentance. I see myself a movement, an awakening in the country to a point. I know I'm contacted every day by different organizations wanting me to join with them in restoring America, bringing America back to one nation under God. Every day. I mean, it's you have so many organizations that believe the way we believe out there. So it's not that there's none, but the question is it too late or not? You know, there comes a point where there's no turning back, and I don't know that, but I do know what he says, that he, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God keeps his word. If the people in this country, if they were smart enough to do what you said, to repent and turn away, then God would restore America one more time, like he did in Nineveh. But whether the people, the apathy and the ignorance is, And we have so much biblical literacy. I never would have believed we could get to this point where there would be such biblical literacy as there is today in this country. So, anyhow, that's where that's at. U.S. Doctors Group, withdraw COVID shots from the market now. Okay, well, this group has been talking about this. They've been for a while now, and it's getting stronger here. Although ignored by most of the news media, the CDC's own eternal database for documenting reports of vaccine-caused injuries, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, currently tallies over 34,000 reported deaths related to COVID-19 vaccines. Okay, let me stop right there. VAERS only reports between 1% and 10% of the actual number. That's always been their practice. So if they're saying it was 34,000, well, that if that's only 10%, well, try over 300,000. What do you think?
340,000.
Yep, 340,000 reported deaths. Far more than any vaccine, not to mention 18,000 plus heart attacks and 26,000 myocarditis and pericarditis cases, 64,000 cases of permanent disability, and 5,000 miscarriages and many others. Well, you can magnify all of that by 10% by 10 times, can't you? It's unbelievable. Oh,
yes, sir.
Everywhere we turn. And this is an article by the World News Daily. Okay, very well. Those are the days we're living in. Here you go. Pfizer's confidential document unveils 1.6 million. Here you go. 1.6 million adverse events across multiple organ systems. Here you go. This is from the natural health world. If you could turn back time to the last day of 2021, you would find the percentage of adverse events from Pfizer jab reported as 0.109%. The percentage equates 323,185 adverse events cases reported out of 296 million. There you go. This is what we were just saying. 860,831 jabs. Fast forward to the summer of 2023, and the media is now reporting Pfizer confidential documents that quantify a whooping 1.6 million adverse events. Dig deep into the pharmaceutical company's released documents, and you'll find these adverse events occurred in nearly every organ in the human body. Oh, wow. Now, and here's the thing. Right now, the VA is still pushing this, knowing all these people that have died, they're still pushing this poisonous poke, this bioweapon. Cleveland Clinic, right here, Cleveland Clinic, even though they know all of this, even though Cleveland Clinic has come out and said that those that have taken the vax, they call it a vax, are four times more likely to get the COVID than those that haven't taken the vax. So if you're four times more likely to get the COVID, how many times more likely are you to die from it? Four times more likely. And so here, even though they know that and they've come out and they've said that, they're still telling people and promoting getting the vax. After all, there's money to be made. There's money to be made. So, hey, you know what? If people get sick and die, what's the big deal? We're out there, right? I mean, that's the message that they're telling you. Kind of insane, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just, spoken 9 churches in New York State in the last 2 weeks, and so many of the people I've spoken to here up in arms, how bad the hospital treatment is, a service, because they're so understaffed. And I think they were talking about I think they mentioned the number 40,000 medical professionals, you know, that were cashiered out of the system for refusing, you know, the vaccinations. And then they don't have enough people now because of that. And these folks are not being rehired. And, you know, I have a chapter in my new book, Perilous Times, about that. And the title is of the chapter is taken from Romans 1:18, Inventors of Evil Things. You know, isn't it interesting that first century Christians couldn't attack all sins that would one day be in society, because the modern sins, you know, would not show up for two millenniums. So all this perversion and these transgender operations and these vaccinations, that all would come under that heading from God's word. You know, inventors of evil things in these last days.
Absolutely. Science falsely so-called. And that's exactly what you're absolutely right. You couldn't be more right. I'm going to switch very quickly over here to this topic. New details on Jeffrey Epstein's mystery of suicide. Listen, if you believe that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, I've got some land to sell you, right? Folks, I got to tell you, you know, here, I mean, these people really, and the news media really, and the deep state really think we're stupid, don't they? I mean, it's like in your face. Do you see what we can do? We can laugh, we can flaunt, we can make a joke out of this. Here's what happens to people that become a threat. Epstein was a real threat to the Clintons, wasn't he?
Well, hasn't he been confirmed to have been to Pedophile Island on the Lolita Express over 20 times because of those legal manifests? They have to have the names on the manifest.
And Hillary.
Did he say he was going scuba diving or something? I forget what I forget what the excuse was. He went there 20 times.
Okay, Cassie, you know Epstein was murdered?
Yeah.
He was on suicide watch. When a guy's on suicide watch, they have a prison guard sit with him at a desk right up against the jail, right up against the bars of his cell. And he sits there and watches the guy 24/7 or until he's relieved of duty. He doesn't take his eyes off that guy in there no matter what he's doing. And the prison has cameras watching the guard who's watching the prisoner. And if that guard does one thing, looks the other way, gets sidetracked or something, there's people in there on his case about that, and he knows that.
And so that would guard be for anybody, too, anybody. But
you guys don't understand. You just don't understand. See, the cameras quit working. The cameras just happened that both those cameras quit working on that, and they were supposed to be repaired immediately, but they weren't. And then what happened was the guards kind of fell asleep, you know? And so what happened there, too, was they had an order, and sometimes on a suicide watch, what they will do is they will put somebody else in the cell, another inmate in the cell. And in this case, they didn't do that. And then, in fact, they had another inmate in the cell with him. They pulled him out. Now, one of the other things they never do, and you know this, Hal, because you worked in a prison as a guard. The suicide, when they're on suicide watch, they don't have sheets. They do not give them bed sheets in their cell. Anything, no belts, no bed sheets, anything that they could turn into a rope, they don't give them. Well, they seem to forgot to do that with him and had these sheets in there. You know, this whole thing was so phony. And not only that, but he managed to get a phone call just before they let him. By the way, they let him go talk to his mother, except for she died in 2004. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe it was one of those things where from the dead. But anyhow.
Biden's time traveling.
Yeah. And so,
you know, another thing, when they're on suicide watch, there's another prison guard that makes the rounds through that area just constantly. So he it's not on the guard that's against sitting there, you know, just looking in constantly at the prisoner, and the camera's looking at him. But there's also another guard who just constantly makes the rounds through there and comes and makes sure that guard is awake. He's watching. And so that guard not only has a camera watching him with a captain or high official watching him from the guy's office, but another guard coming through there making sure that, you know, he's paying attention and everything. So, I mean, they couldn't have been that incompetent on by accident. That thing, you know, that was a setup. He was designed to be killed.
Well, they know that. I mean, it's very, very obvious that it was. In fact, one of the highest paid individual, well, best known in the country, who deals with that science, you know, examined him and said it was obviously he was murdered. He did not commit suicide. He was murdered. But remember, the deep state does this, like Merrick Garland and Chris Wray. They'll lie. They'll blatantly lie, and you know they're lying, and they know they're lying, and we know they know they're lying, and they'll continue to tell those lies. You know, it just it's the same thing. Everybody, whatever you have to do, you had to protect Hillary. You know, no matter what you do, it's in your face. Two tiers of judgment or justice, and basically what they were saying: look, we can take you out at any time we want. And you've seen what they did to the Patriots there from January 6th, the horrible things. They murdered. There will be no justice to every one of them dirty cops, every one of them that murdered and killed the Patriots in D.C. and that so-called consul that they had. To every one of those people are in that filthy, dirty jail that the Patriots are in. And so there you go. Do you think we should open the phone lines, take some calls?
Definitely.
All righty. We're going to open the phone lines now and take some calls at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 888-677-9673. What do you guys think about this Prigozhin, the play on the CIA to tune of $6 billion? In other words, this guy here, this Wagner, he's the boss. I guess it's called Yevgeny Prigozhin. The fellow who's leading the mercenaries who marched into Russia.
Yeah, went to Moscow, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
It lasted one day, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He said he turned back because he didn't want to spill Russian blood. What do you guys think? There's a lot of people say that this whole thing was a CIA tune-up. It was a play that the CIA to the tune of about $6 billion. What do you think?
What was the supposed advantage for the CIA to be doing it?
Well, the takedown. In other words, I don't know the takedown. Let me hear. Kim.com Schmitz offered his explanation of the background of the inner Russian strife. He goes on. My view on the actions of Prigozhin and the Wagner Group in Russia. He says the start is a power struggle between Prigozhin and the Russian Minister of Defense, Sergei Shoigu. In the beginning of the special military operation, Shoigu and his team made mistakes, and Prigozhin became a strong critic of Shoigu. Well, I wish they had better names. Prigozhin then had success in Bakhmut with Wagner Group, presenting himself as a better military leader than Shoigu. In my view, Shoigu then provoked Prigozhin by limiting ammunition supplies to the Bakhmut resulted in Wagner Group losses and strong reaction from Prigozhin. Many of you have seen the video of Prigozhin attacking Shoigu and the Russian military leadership. Anyhow, somehow they think that the CIA got involved with one side or the other and paid up to $6 billion. I don't know. There's so much of I don't think anybody really knows what's going on there. What do you guys think?
That's a pretty good way of putting it.
All right.
I mean, that's the Wagner Group. The little I know about it is just like the parallel to the CIA. I mean, they operate outside of the laws, and just like the CIA, you can't pin them down, and they do back. They are that it's the private military company of or de facto private army of Prigozhin. I mean,
yeah.
I can't pronounce his name either.
Yeah. Anyhow, we're going to a quick break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Be right back.
The future
and life is worth the living.
I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He back, and the whole board's lit, so we're going to make some really fast phone calls, folks. We got to do them quickly because the whole board is lit. So let's go to Vince in St. Paul. Hey, Vince.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yeah, well, you're there. Go ahead and speak up.
Yes, okay. Do you, what nationality group do you think owns Pfizer, Moderna, Merck, and all these pharmaceutical industries, and who controls the CDC and the World Health Organization?
I don't know if there's any particular national group. You're probably referring to Jewish people?
I would say top rank, yeah. They're at least the head ones.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing of it is, the Lord Jesus referred to those people, and so did the Apostle Paul's, and those that and he referred to as the seed, but not the children of Abraham. In other words, they were physically, but not spiritually Jews. But anyhow, more than likely, you're right. Got to move on. But thanks, though, Vince. Who do we have next? Who is that? Hey, Dave. Dave in New York.
Yeah, Ernie, how you doing? Listen, you know, I listen to the show as much as I can. And you talk about that Jackie Smith or whatever. It could be Goldsmith. Who knows, Jackie Smith. But, I mean, on the other end, on the Biden end, as far as his documents with the Corvette, the garage, Rehoboth, all the houses down there in Delaware, you know, Wilmington. The guy's name from memory, it's not like I'm reading off of something. His name was like Loesch, who was appointed by Eric Garland as a special prosecutor to look into the Biden end of his classified documents that he had. You know anything about that?
No, but I do know that Merrick Garland is simply, he's working for the Biden. He's simply, he's in, and he knows if Biden goes down, Biden can take him with him. The corruption is there.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to the name. Loesch, like L-O-R-S-C-H.
Yeah.
Might want to look, I'm not telling you what to do.
Okay, but I think I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, the other thing real quick is, you know that Ray Epps, remember? Because you had mentioned like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
About the cap. You know, his son, the senior Epps, you know, he thought there was going to be a bomb. There was a bomb threat. Remember off to the side of the Russell building? Or whatever. It was a lady that was detained, or, you know, because he was worried about his son, that there was going to be a bomb threat or something. How do you know that, number one? Number two, he showed his son how to use a tourniquet in the case of, you know, violence and a bomb threat. Then I wanted to mention about if you knew anything about the House number one rule, where the select subcommittee on the weaponization of the federal government as a select investigative subcommittee on the judiciary, where it says on issued on January 6th, called the creation of a new church committee, quote unquote.
Yeah, I have a lot of information on that, and we'll probably get to that tomorrow. But I have to move on because the whole board's lit.
But I just mentioned it.
Okay, who do we have next? Who do we have next? Sheila, you're in the air, Sheila.
Oh, hi. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking to Pastor Sanders. Who do you think you're speaking to?
Oh, I don't know. This is the first time I was able to make a contact in a while. I got the phone number from a static radio. No internet here, and the postal service is stopping too, I think. So I was calling because I'm a little bit isolated, and I heard a little bit of news, and I haven't been able to get much news. So okay. I was calling. I'm sorry to bother you, but I believe Jesus is the God, and I don't know if maybe that's why I'm having a problem with communication, no internet. Is that what's happening?
Well, you're right. Jesus is the Lord. He's the Son of God and God the Son. And so, yeah, yep. But anyhow, yeah, and we just tune in. I don't really have much time tonight, so I'm going to have to move on. But thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Oh. You sound like you're...
I'm just wondering if it was happening to others because of... I have had internet since 2017, and I was wondering if that was happening to other believers or just some of us.
I would imagine it's happening to others too, and I know there's a lot of strange things have been happening a lot recently. So, but anyhow, you keep tuning in.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. God bless. Who do we have quickly next? Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. It'd just be 30 seconds. Two quick things. One is the Sergeant Reports podcast. The latest episode's interesting. He's talking with another podcaster, a first-time guest. And he's basically saying that the Ukraine is, Kiev is the head of the deep state right now. And they're talking about the cancer that people are getting. It's going from the shots, it's going right to fourth stage. And also he brought up this idea of from Queen Esther, how these gallows that the people it's going to get turned on them, he believes. One other quick thing, I was talking to a nurse who got a job 2 months ago at a cardiac center. It's, you know, in the office, and she's saying that she's fielding calls of younger women that are saying their hearts are beating extremely rapidly after taking the shots, skipping beats. And she mentioned that two came in that were 30 years old. So that's very ominous, you know, hearing this. She wasn't in that field. She's looking at YouTube videos on the heart. She had been an emergency room nurse that quit like 3 years ago, and now she's back trying to make some extra bucks. She was a librarian. So that's about it.
All righty. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling. We got to move on. Time for one more call. Okay, we have Attorney Joe. Colonel Joe. Hey, Colonel Joe.
Reverend Sanders, you're still alive.
Yep, I'm still here. I was just telling the folks earlier about the Lawyers for Life who defended me all those years when I got into the battles out there. They accused me about everything you can imagine, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there was a group of Lawyers for Life, and you were one of those Lawyers for Life, Attorney Joe, that defended me.
Right, and we're still on the front line. Now, I'll tell you, Reverend Sanders, you and I and others know how even more terrible it has become. You know, in the old days, they used to say, well, the abortion is a terrible thing and a tragedy and all that, but it's just necessary. Now, they don't say anything like that, and they never acknowledge that there's a human life taken in every abortion. They never speak about that. And that silence, of course, you know, betrays what they really know. There are 65 million dead because of Roe and Doe. And I am afraid that because of what we have now, namely a media which will not tell the truth, the scientific truth about the development of the unborn child. And we have, and I hate to say this, Reverend Sanders, but it seems like there's a number of people, and a number of them are women, who are so hateful and even discussing this. It becomes almost impossible just simply to be quietly discussing issues like this and not find yourself the target for all sorts of, as you have encountered, of slander and lies and of ugly kinds of statements about you. So anyway, I want to commend you for all the fighting, for all the years that you've done. And I only hope, Reverend Sanders, when's your birthday coming up? Or are you still having birthdays?
I think I've got one in September. I just had one last year. I think I've got another one coming this year.
September. And I just want to say, Reverend Sanders, I hope the good God gives you 100 more blessed and happy birthdays. So tell me, how are things going? You know, we've got this big challenge here in August with the vote coming up, and I haven't been able to hear what your views are on that.
Oh, I've been all over that. We've been all over that. I've got, on my car, I've got two great big signs, magnetic signs on my car that says vote yes on issue one August 8th. And we've been all over that. We've been pushing that hard to get the word out.
Right. And the argument that I would like to see brought up more is that by doing this, we are protecting our Constitution, our system of law, and our state. It is just too easy and not appropriate to use simply a majority vote to cancel out or change or amend such an important document as the Constitution. You know, you can't do that to the federal Constitution. You've got to get people behind it and a significant majority of them beyond just 50%. How many do you need for federal amendments? So that's got a model there of the federal government. Why shouldn't that also be here on the state government? We can't let...
You're right, happen. Joe. We're gonna be on top of this, believe it. Every single day from now to August 8th, we will be on top of this.
We are saying, you take care, Reverend Sanders, and good talking and hearing you're still alive. My God, I've made my evening.
Thanks. God bless, my friend. Now, fellas, this is he was one of those guys like I was telling you about. Back in the early days, he was out there with me, one of the first out there in front of these bloody abortion mills. As Colonel Joe, you've heard about the book, The Green Beret?
Yes.
He's the one that wrote that book. He's the author of that book, The Green Beret. Then they made a movie. And so that's him. He was a Green Beret. He was a military army lawyer, a JAG officer. And so anyhow, how much time do I have, Style? Okay. Hey, Hal, do you think we should let Bill give the invitation tonight? You think he could do it?
Definitely. He's the guest.
All righty. Bill, you've got 5 minutes to tell folks how they can get to heaven and avoid hell. I'll give you a warning when you get to the one-minute mark.
Thank you. That's a privilege. Believe it or not, Hal, I'm writing my seventh book at the moment, and it's the first book I've ever written for unsaved people. I mean, I've never done that. And it's going to be called What Must I Do to Be Saved? And from Philippians 16. And it's just going to be about 75 to 100 pages with the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans attached in the back. So I was working on it today. So it's right up my alley, and it's just as simple as it can be. I mean, we're talking about all these Catholics. They fight abortion and take these moral issue stands, and they die. And they burn for eternity in hell because they never met the Bible requirement for salvation. Except a man be born again, he can enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm in the Catholic Church in New York City, Cardinal Spellman signing my grade school diploma I mentioned to you. Biden said he graduated from the second largest Catholic high school in Delaware, Archmere. I graduated from the largest Catholic high school in Delaware, Salesianum. So I had Catholicism heavily steeped in it for 21 years. And all they taught you was the very idea of moral life gets you to heaven. You know, the whole works thing. If you do more good than bad, you go to heaven. But when I was 21 years old, I was driving to work at the Philadelphia airport, listening to the radio, and I heard a Baptist preacher explain, if you want to go to heaven by how good you are, you better find out what the passing grade is before you kick the bucket. And you can find that in Galatians 3:5, Galatians 5:3, Galatians 3:10, Galatians 5:3, James 2:10, and many references. And that is, the passing grade is not more good than bad, it's perfection. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Nobody can meet God's standard of perfection. The first people on this earth were thrown out of paradise for committing one infraction. That's Adam and Eve. So when Catholics, as well as people in any kind of liberal Protestant churches, are growing up, they're always being told they get to heaven if they do more good than bad. You have to find out that that won't work. One sin will sink your ship, and that's why God, because he's a holy God, he's a God of love, he wants you to go to heaven, but he's a holy God. He can't look away from your sin. They have to be, your sins have to be paid for. So you have to come up with a plan to kill two birds with one stone, get you to heaven to satisfy his love, and yet satisfy his holiness to see your sins paid for. So instead of you paying for your sins, he sends a substitute here to pay for them, which was Jesus, God inside of a man's body. And he lived the perfect life, kept the Ten Commandments perfectly, never sinned once. And he was the only person in human flesh that ever lived a sinless life. I used the story of the Tale of Two Cities, written by a Christian author, as an illustration.
1 minute.
The hero of the story slips into the jail cell and exchanges places with his best friend, and he goes to the guillotine in his place. And that's what Jesus did. He died for us, and what you have to do is place your trust in him for salvation. I don't mean just believe that he exists. The devils do that, James tells you, and they tremble. But to put your trust in him alone, no trust at all in how good you think you are. If you do that, the Bible says you'll be saved. What must I do to be saved? The jailkeeper said in Acts 16. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
All right. And when you put, without any reservations, you've got to call upon his name and believe in him, and he's got to be first in everything in your life. So, folks, like he said, go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. We are out of time for tonight. I want to thank you for being here, Bill and Pastor Hal. But as we get to this point every night, here's what we do. We say, good night. Ready? Say good night. Say, God bless. God bless. And
God bless.
Always, 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 let's do it. Ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.